Hello and welcome to CICK News. CICK News is your local and regional news coverage provided by me, Pamela Hassan, and Dan Messick for Smithers Community Radio. This news program is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada, and our aim is to provide local coverage on stories that affect the lives of Northerners like you. This summer has arguably been one of the better years for crops, plants, and flowers. The days of sunshine and nights of rain make for ideal conditions here in Smithers. So imagine the surprise that Sally Harvey and Kayan Gaddavi received when they were given a letter 2 days after their raised garden boxes on the boulevard in front of their house were planted, that they needed to be removed by the end of summer as they were in contravention with Smithers Town Highway Bylaw No. 846, which states, "No one shall construct or maintain a boulevard on any highway or plant any trees, shrubs, or bushes upon a highway." Kayan and Sally followed up with a declaration to council on Tuesday night to request after-the-fact permission to keep their boxes up. They cited health, environmental, and community benefits of boulevard gardens rather than chipped concrete and dry grass, as well as offered examples from other municipalities with large amount of snowfall that have adopted and promoted boulevard gardening. According to the town's own climate leadership vision, efforts will be made to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 40% below the 2007 levels by 2030 and reach net zero by 2050 through a policy to reduce greenhouse gas emissions through a focus on land use pattern. Turf and grass are carbon positive and emit greenhouse gases, while vegetable and perennial gardens are carbon sinks and also provide food and habitat for birds and other wildlife, as well as other human benefits, such as reducing pollutants and limiting noise pollutants. I spoke to Sally and Kayan at their home on Wednesday night.
I'm Sally Harvey. I live in Smithers.
Kayan Gaddavi, Sally's spouse.
Can you tell me when you built the boxes and put the boxes up?
We built them the weekend, June 2nd, I think, on the Sunday. Yeah, we place them on the boulevard.
We have been making compost in our backyard since we moved here, and we got soil from a neighbor, so we mixed it in with our compost that we'd spent a long time making as well.
Yes. Now, can you name just a couple other municipalities that you know of that have successfully implemented boulevard boxes?
Yeah, so in BC, we've got Vancouver, Victoria. Kamloops has people maintain their own boulevards, but Edmonton, Winnipeg, Saskatoon, Halifax, Montreal, Peterborough, Sault Ste. Marie. So yeah, lots. This is just the ones I know of, mm-hmm. but I imagine there are more.
So you spoke to Smithers Town Council on Tuesday night, requesting council support for after-the-fact permission for the two garden boxes that you have here on 2nd Ave. Can you tell me what it was that you were requesting?
We were requesting after-the-fact permission for the garden boxes on the town boulevard. And then we were using the delegation to hopefully demonstrate to council the enormous potential benefits of boulevard gardening in Smithers that are consistent with the vision, objectives, and policies of their official community plan. And then we wanted council to support the development of boulevard gardening guidelines for downtown core on the boulevards and pretty much anywhere.
There are boulevards.
So what was the town's reason for not wanting these boxes on your property?
Yeah, I had a number of conversations with different staff members. There were some initial concerns about safety and accessibility, and we talked about that, and that seemed to be something that was okay. I think there are some insurance concerns that they have. So I think ultimately the big concerns were snow removal, because they do use the boulevard to put snow on the boulevards. And another concern, and the chief concern, and what really motivated us to make a delegation was precedence is their big concern.
We had a few reasons that we had for doing this. First of all, we wanted to enhance the natural beauty of our downtown neighborhood. So previous to putting up those boxes, it was just chipped concrete and a couple of scattered weeds. We were hoping to promote community connection with our neighbors and visitors, and also just gave us some agency to do some kind of action with respect to climate mitigation that aligned with our values and concerns in the midst of a climate crisis. And we thought it was a good opportunity to use unused urban land to enhance sustainable agriculture and increase food security in our community.
One of the things that I wanted to focus on was also a way for it to build community, and also the health benefits, mental health benefits, and things like that as well, if you wouldn't mind touching on some of those.
I'm a psychiatrist, so I have a vested interest in this, and certainly food security in the north. 17% of homes in the north have household food insecurity, and particularly those with on social assistance, 58%, approaching 60%. And we know just how much food insecurity impacts both physical and mental health, and also the lack of connection, right? We're inside so much. So this is an opportunity to have these social connections, and this would really enhance that. And then, of course, there are all kinds of concerns about air pollution and the impact of air pollution on our physical. We all know about the carcinogens and the cardiorespiratory problems. And so not only these greenhouse gases, the methane, carbon dioxide, et cetera, going into the air, we're also blowing all kinds of nitrous oxide, all kinds of hydrocarbons. We're blowing all this dust and all these pollutants into the air as well. And that's a big health concern. And then the health benefits.
All of our gardens would just reduce the need to use those fossil fuel powered tools as much, because they would basically negate the need for it if we covered these boulevards with gardens that were also ways of retaining moisture as well. So there isn't as much runoff, because they do talk a lot about stormwater runoff. So this is just another way of collecting extra water as well.
Because these, what are known as health strips, these boulevards, the water just sort of runs right off it. And these things are not, they're carbon positive, whereas the deep roots with the garden are, they're carbon sinks. They're quite effective carbon sinks. And then the health benefits of, so this is social health benefits, but the health benefits of gardening itself, we know that gardening, as a psychiatrist, this is a pretty interesting area in terms, of course, both diet. We're seeing studies that diet is as effective as antidepressants and exercise. The program I work with, we actually have a food as medicine program. And yeah, again, a quarter of our population are seniors. There's really interesting data about delaying dementia through more effective or than walking educational initiatives or alcohol intake.
Through gardening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's all, it seems to me like it's all very much in step with the OCP.
So here, for example, is right out of the OCP, support local agriculture and food security. So support on-site food production, including urban agriculture and greenhouses on a wide variety of land uses, including multifamily housing, town-owned site, and underused areas. And also they talked about working with community organization and nonprofits and supporting local agriculture and food security. Organizations like BV Groundbreakers are really keen to get out there and start promoting gardening on town lands. And they talk about how they want to do urban intensification down here in the downtown core. So they're going to have buildings with commercial on the first level and then apartments. Often with apartments, they don't have land that they can use to garden, so this sort of thing would be a really good opportunity. There's a whole section on the OCP of climate leadership vision. Turf and grass are carbon positive and they emit greenhouse gases, while vegetable and perennial gardens are carbon sinks. And interestingly, when the town called us to say we had to take down the boxes, and I said, it's really pretty unsightly there, what's going to happen? And they actually said that they would give us topsoil and grass seed as our only options for developing that. It's not in line with their OCP. Other areas of the OCP, protect the environment, identify, protect, and where possible, enhance ecologically significant areas for the long-term benefit and enjoyment of residents and visitors to Smithers. So along that, grass reduces pollinators, gardens provide food and habitat for birds and wildlife, it's an attempt to increase the number of native pollinators that actually are in sharp decline, which does impact crop production locally.
Now, I just wanted to speak about how you feel it went last night. And there weren't too many comments from the councillors, I found, after the presentation. So can you tell me how you felt about the presentation?
The councillors afterwards, a lot of them came up to us and spoke with us and said that a lot of what we said resonated with them. And this was actually the first time that either of us had ever done a delegation or participated in like this in our communities. So what they said is that it's going back to staff for a discussion. And then afterwards, Michael Dewar came up to us and said that he's going to get in touch with us shortly to have a discussion about what could happen. To be honest with you, I am worried that they're going to say that even though we made our boxes in a way that were provided more space and maneuverability around them than the ones on Main Street, At the very minimum, I requested specifically that they, because initially they had said that they wanted us to take the boxes down in within five last Friday.
Right.
And they kindly allowed us to extend this because we did put up the boxes without, first of all, asking for permission because we just were so used to the idea of them that we didn't really think that it would really cause this much of a of an uproar. And so I'm just hoping that at the very minimum, they'll let us keep them till everything we have in those boxes grows.
What I hope will come out of it beyond our boxes is for the town to develop guidelines. Mm-hmm. And some of the discussions we had after, one of the concerns raised was just the staff capacity, right? Because there's a lot on their plate, a lot on their agenda. And I guess my argument was that there are a lot of guidelines out there that they can draw from and borrow from and tweak to be more Smithers friendly, so to speak, or more relevant to Smithers. So,
are there any last thoughts that you wanted to share?
Oh, yes. Like when I look down the big strip of boulevards, I imagine in my mind just boxes lining the whole thing and how amazing that would be. And I also am grateful that council allowed us to come and do a delegation at such short notice, and they were really open to hearing what we had to say. So we really were appreciative of having that opportunity.
Yeah, so we look forward to ongoing dialogue, right? It did seem collaborative. Initially, it didn't seem so collaborative, but after we had a conversation all together, it had a spirit of, let's work on this together. And each of us appreciating each other's, the challenges, or for us to appreciate the challenges the town has. But there's a spirit of working on this because they felt it was important. Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. We'll let you know.
Thank you. Okay, thanks so much for speaking with me today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.